How's everybody doing this morning? Amen. Are you blessed? Praise God. I hope you didn't stop to think about it to see whether or not you were. Because the blessing is not what happened to you today. It's what happened for you over 2,000 years ago at Calvary. Glory to God. Because of Jesus, you are blessed. You may be seated before I totally lose time and can't do what I'm assigned to do by the Lord this morning. Woo, I just love the presence of the Lord, don't you? Isn't he good? Praise God. Praise God. We love you, Lord. Well, Kathy and I, we are so blessed and honored to get to be here with you today. As your pastor just said, we were here a couple years ago. We were on vacation taking our kids to Disney World, and that was an experience with two little kids. But it was fun. We were blessed. It was a great time of refreshing for us. But also because of our relationship with your pastors, you know, we just said, you know what? Besides, we just don't like missing church. When we go on vacation, we usually don't take vacation from church. I mean, I'm looking for somewhere to fellowship with the family in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And so, you know, we don't stop eating physically when we go on vacation. Why would I stop eating spiritually? Well, I'm on vacation. No, I'm not going to church. Amen. But, you know, we didn't even have to pray about where to go because we love your pastor so much and we're thankful for our relationship with him. I was so blessed to get to see this big, huge area you guys are in now. Praise the Lord, man. And so, you know, the Bible says if you're faithful with what you have, he's going to give you more. Well, here it is. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's also a blessing to be here with Pastor Kenneth's mom, Marcia. God bless you. And your dad's coming? Okay, all right. And Pastor Ashley as well. And we're honored to be invited to celebrate with you here for your 11 years of ministry. Praise God. You guys are the ones that's made this happen. Amen. You know, your pastors, they provided the vision, but the vision is bigger. It's too big, rather, for them to fulfill by themselves. Right. It requires participation. Yes. Amen. And it's because of you guys that this is happening, and it's because of you guys that we're here today. Amen. And so without you being here, without your faithfulness, loving on the people, come on, not only here in church, but loving on the people in the workplace, yes, in the grocery store, yes, among your family, amen. You're not, you know, beating people with the Bible saying you need to get in church, but you're just loving on them, being good to them. Now, every once in a while, if they need to be beat, you beat them, but, you know, you don't just wear them out. Beat them as long as you don't wear them out. I'm just teasing. But anyways, you're just loving on them, showing the love of Jesus. I mean, you'd be surprised at how you're influencing people. You don't even know it right now. Don't ever say my witness isn't working. The farmer don't plant the seed and then say my seed ain't working because it didn't come up tomorrow. Amen. Or the next day or next week. Amen. The farmer forgets about the seed once the seed is planted. And the Bible says that the earth will bring forth fruit of itself. In other words, when I'm trying to bring forth the fruit, I'm taking over responsibility that's not been given to me. Right. Amen. I am supposed to leave that into the hands of the earth. And through the earth, God brings the increase. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so when all the rewards are being handed out for what takes place, has and will take place here, you know, Pastor Kenneth and Lynette won't be getting all those rewards. The Lord's going to be calling out your name too. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I love the vision. To encounter the power and presence of God. Be embraced with the love of God and be empowered by the word and the spirit of God. Praise God. Perhaps when you first came here to Kingdom Life, you were on the receiving end of that. And not that you ever stop being on the receiving end, but you come to a growth stage in your life where you actually are playing a huge part in providing that atmosphere for others to come in and receive of that supply. Praise the Lord. Well, I feel the anointing right now, don't you? Woo, you're so good. Amen. And listen, when I was studying, Pastor Kenneth and Lynette, when I was studying and going and over my notes and praying, I heard the Lord say to me, you guys have built momentum. When I say you guys, I don't mean just them. I mean you guys, the church. And I heard this, and it might be a strange term, but I heard it's snowballing. I mean, it's snowballing. You guys don't know nothing about snow over here. But let me tell you what snowball means. It means now that the ball is rolling, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And this is what the Lord said. What started with great effort and took great effort to accomplish now will be accomplished with the greatest of ease. Glory to God. Praise God. Say, I receive that in Jesus' name for my church. Listen, it took you 11 years to get here. Yes. So today is an occasion to celebrate. Yes. This is next. The next 11 years are going to be 11 years like none other you've ever experienced in your entire lives. Listen, what happens here, it should be because of what's already happening at your house. Amen. Oh, man, let me say that again. Yeah, there's going to be things you take from here to your house, but the majority should be what you take from your house to here. Amen. And that's your supply. Amen. Glory to God. Well, let's get into the Word of God. Turn with me in your Bible to two places. And while you're looking for those two places, Galatians 6 and 2 Corinthians 9, I have a gift for you. My wife and I, we have a gift for you. And the ushers, you guys go ahead and pass those out. These are books that I had printed up. This is my second edition of them. The first one I titled God Loves Post Texas and So Do We. But since I was giving them out in other churches, I didn't think that that would really matter much to them if they knew God Loves Post. So I changed the title and just called it Righteous in Christ. Amen. And when we first had this book printed out, we handed it out to every single house and family in Post Texas. How many know that righteousness, our righteousness in Christ is an important message? Amen. Eternal life is the greatest gift to the world, but the greatest gift to the church is the revelation of the gift of righteousness. Amen. Because it's through the gift of righteousness that we may receive every other gift that God has to offer. Otherwise, we're not going to see ourselves as worthy enough, and in ourselves we're not. But when you have a revelation that in Christ we are made righteous, we'll say, thank you, sir. I believe I will take that. Amen. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Well, Lord, I would not want to deny you any pleasure. Go ahead and prosper me. Get all the pleasure out of me you want right now, Lord. I'm righteous. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I know your pastors, they preach righteousness to you, but it's good to be refreshed on it. Amen. And stay stirred up on it. It's not what you know, that's helping you. It's really what you're stirred up about. Amen. And so, did you find those two places, Galatians chapter 6 and 2 Corinthians 9? Now, don't feel like you're slow if I'm going too fast, because I do have a few more scriptures than you might be able to keep up with me on. Don't worry about it. Just do the best you can. I like to get the word in the message, and I know your pastors do too. But let's go right on ahead. That's why I gave you two in advance, just to get you a little bit ahead. Galatians chapter 6, and I'm reading verse 7, and then I'm going to skip 8 and go to 9. Verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Amen. And then verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, say due season. You know when due season is? That's when that's longer than your flesh wants it to be. So get over it. Learn how to be content and rejoice in the state that you're in, and let God bring you to that next level. Amen. Praise God. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The New Living says, "Let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." Amen. Now, Miss C. Newsom, I'm sure you and Miss Lynette have read that book from Rhema. In her book, The Life of Faith, she was a missionary to Mexico who had a great healing ministry in the early 1900s. And she said in her book, The Life of Faith, the devil is busy trying to take from us what we take from God, and so God bids us to hold fast. You must say, I have it now, it is mine. Let's practice. I have it now. It is mine. Amen. One more time. Praise God. Now, don't just do that when your pastors tell you to. You ought to do that in the car sitting at the red light. Amen. You ought to do that when your eyes wake up in bed in the morning. Amen. When you're in the shower. It is mine. I have it now. Praise God. Now, a lot of people in the church today are getting real good word. It's hard not to get good word anymore. I mean, you couldn't say that even just, you know, 20 years ago. But because of the internet and the way communication is spreading so easily around the world, I mean, people are getting real good word. Amen. You know, we broadcasted live our meetings with the Hankins back in April. And I got word that the youth pastor in the First Baptist Church was hiding back in one of the classrooms on his phone watching our meetings. I didn't tell him to do that. But man, the word is penetrating. Amen. And so a lot of people are getting good word. And this is actually what the Lord told me back in 2005. Okay, that was a long time ago. He said the people are getting real good word, but they don't have metabolism. Metabolism is simply spiritual strength. And what is that strength for? It's to hold fast to the word and actually receive their harvest. See, most of our issues in the body of Christ is not with the sowing, it's with the reaping. Amen. And so I'm going to give you three reasons why people don't have a harvest. Amen. Number one is simply because they have not sown. Okay. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on the sowing aspect. Amen. Because I believe you guys are givers. I know you're a giver. Amen. But I think many times we miss it in the reaping aspect. We think just because I've sown my seed, well, it's just going to happen automatically. But it's not. Even the greatest of miracles require your participation. Amen. And why would Paul tell us in Galatians, don't grow weary if it was automatic? Why did he say you would reap if you didn't faint if it was automatic? Otherwise, he would have said, don't worry about not reaping. It's automatic. Oh, we would all be people of the word if it said that. We'd all be people of the word if John 3:16 said, God so loved the world, so everybody can have eternal life. Wouldn't that be not everybody be saved? But no, there's a clause in there that whosoever believeth. Yes. Believing isn't what you did last year. That's right. Believing isn't even what you did last night. Right. Believing is what you're doing right now. Amen. And you didn't get all the eternal life there was to receive the day you said, Jesus, I'll make you my Lord. That's when the door was open. Yes. Now you're walking into the room. Because where there's a door, there's a room. Yes. Amen. And there is whole denominations built on the open door, and they refuse to go into the room. Come on. Woo! That's why we call it the fool gospel. Amen. We don't want to just talk about it. We don't want to just hold it as a doctrine or a creed. Yes. We want to have it as a reality in our lives. Glory to God. Amen. I need to quit preaching, man. I'm telling you what, because some things might be better caught anyways, right? Glory to God. So, the number one reason why people have not received their harvest is simply because they haven't sown. You might be surprised at how many never even get past that one. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:6. You're already there. And also verse 10, we'll read. But it says, Paul said, this I say, he that sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You see, so there's a spiritual law at work here that what you do first will determine what God will do second. A lot of times we think we're waiting on God. What came first, the sowing or the reaping? The sowing. Who does the sowing? We do the sowing, right? Well, look, so we determine the size of our harvest by the seed that we sow. And then you hear people saying this, and they think it's humble. They think it's, you know, spiritual. But they say, well, just whatever God wants is fine with me. But that's not what the word said. The Bible says whatever's fine with you. It says right here, you're the one that determines the size of your harvest. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparing. If you sow bountiful, you're going to reap bountiful. Many people sow according to what they feel like they can afford. But that would be like a farmer sowing proportionate to the harvest he received last year, when a smart farmer sows in proportion to the harvest he desires. Come on. If you sow proportionate to last year's crop, you'll always get what you've always had. And it's only going to diminish from there. And so verse 10 says, now he there is talking about God. He ministers, or he gives seed to the sower. That's you, the sower. Amen. Say, God gives me seed. You're never without seed to sow. You have a seed. Amen. God says he's giving you seed. I've heard testimonies of people who were just broke. And I mean, would take buttons off their shirt and put it in offering. I mean, they had the church pin. It said Kingdom Life on there, man. And they just said, well, it's my pin now. And they filled it out, put the pin in there maybe, sealed it up. And they said, this is my seed. This is what I got. God's giving you something to start with. But people say, well, I'll give when this happens, when that happens, when I get to this level, when I get to that level. Well, that ain't going to happen, and you ain't ever going to get to that level until you start where you're at. Amen? Yes. Praise God. God does not need to give you more to find out what you're going to do with more. Yes. He knows what you're going to do with more by what you're doing with what you got right now. Yes. Amen? Yes. The test doesn't begin when you get more. The test is now. Yes. With what you're doing, what you have. And so it says he ministers bread, or gives bread for our food, and multiplies. Say multiplies. He multiplies our seed sown, and he increases the fruit of our righteousness. Now, notice that it's what's in the ground that God multiplies. It's not what's in your hand. Don't turn there, but John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 24. This was Jesus speaking concerning himself. He said, except a seed fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. So the seed has got to leave your hand. Otherwise, it's going to be alone. Some people got some lonely seed. Amen. Your seed needs some company. Amen. Amen. And so if you want your seed to multiply, you're going to have to get it out of your ground, out of your hand, and get it into the ground. Amen? And so, aren't you glad for Jesus? He was the greatest seed ever sown. People say he's the only begotten. We even fight over Bible translations. No, it doesn't say he's the one and only. It says he's the only begotten. And that's okay. But there's a reason why he gave his only. Because he wanted more. Amen. He wanted a family. He gave his only son because he didn't want him to stay his only son. And beloved, now we are children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. He loved us so much, not enough to make us his sons, but he gave us equal share in the inheritance. Woo, come on. Amen. And so it said, whosoever believes on him, God so loved the world, he gave. That was his seed. So that whosoever believes, this is what his harvest was. This is what he was putting his faith towards. So that. You don't ever put an offering in the bucket without a so that. Yes. Amen. When you sow that, you need to say so that. This will happen. That will happen. Yes. Put your faith out. Yes. Amen. Wrap your faith around your seed. Don't just toss it in the bucket. Right. Amen. And then I heard the Lord say this as I was meditating. Your seed has the power to untie you from your present circumstances and connect you to something greater than yourself and what self can produce. Praise God. The second reason why people never receive a harvest is because they got tired of waiting on the harvest and they gave up. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. The Bible in basic English says, ooh, I'm working the sound, guys, aren't I? Okay. The Bible in basic English says, for having done what is right in God's eyes, you have need of waiting before his word has effect for you. Say, I have need of waiting. It takes time for God to do in you with his word what he wants to do. Amen. E.M. Bounds said this, faith does not grow disheartened because prayer is not immediately honored. It takes God at his word and lets him take the time he chooses in fulfilling his purposes and in carrying on his work. God has to do many things before giving the final answer. Things which are essential to the lasting good of him who is requesting favor at his hands. So also Miss Newsom said in the Life of Faith book, she said, the Bible tells us that God works while we wait. And we are waiting on God. Then she, see, you gotta qualify for waiting. Some people think they're waiting and they're stressing. Come on.
That's right.
Waiting is an attitude.
That's right.
Waiting is on your part, not on the one you're waiting on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
She says, we are waiting on God only when all our thoughts, attention, and mind are fixed on him, and we put away quickly every thought that the devil thrusts upon us. You can't stop the thoughts, but you can put them away quickly.
That's right.
Amen. Brother Hagin would say, you cannot keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from building a nest in your head.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. look at your neighbor and say, I think something's in your hair. No. In Ecclesiastes 11, verses 1 and 2, it says, cast thy bread, say my bread, upon the waters, for you shall find it after many days. All right. Now, this is interesting to me because this is talking about a farmer sowing seeds. But he doesn't call the seed seed. He calls it what he wants it to be.
That's good.
You see that? They weren't casting their loaves of bread in the water.
Come on now. That's right.
Come on. Your seed is the thing you're desiring for it to become. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Say that.
Yeah.
That would be that which you sowed. It's real simple.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And so they had their faith out already. This is seed now, but it's not going to stay in seed form. It's going to become bread on my family's table.
Yeah.
Amen. They casted their seed out on the River Jordan when in the season when it overflowed its banks, and that seed would spread out over onto the land, and when the river would subside, that seed would plant itself in the ground. And then in harvest time, they would go and they would reap the harvest. Listen, you don't always know exactly where your harvest is going to come from. You may know where you put your seed, but you don't know where your harvest is going to come up at. Amen? But it said, you'll find it, talking about the bread. You'll find it after many days. Say many days. It didn't say tomorrow. It didn't say next week. It didn't say next month. It didn't even say next year. It said many days. All right. And so then what's interesting to me, it says give a portion to seven and also to eight. Why? Why should we be so generous? I like that. He didn't even just say seven. He said bump it on up to eight. In other words, I wish I hadn't even said seven. Why did I say seven? That wasn't big enough.
Yeah.
That wasn't generous enough. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. For you know not what evil shall be upon the earth. He's talking about hard times. Times of famine. Now in the natural it would have said, give a portion to seven. Well, on second thought, maybe just three or four. Because you don't know. See, we dictate our giving by the hard times that are ahead.
Yeah.
Or what we're facing, but scripturally, we're not supposed to back off in hard times. Scripturally, we're supposed to bump it up to eight. Come on. Because we don't sow proportionate to the last year's harvest. We sow proportionate to the harvest we desire. Amen? And so, what's the purpose in waiting? Why does God put time in between the sowing and the reaping? It's because he wants to do more than add to your seed. He wants to multiply your seed. How many want God to multiply it? Then don't you think you can wait just a little bit longer to let that multiplication process kick in? Amen?
Amen.
So it's not just merely adding to your seed. See, when God adds to your seed, it'll get you to next paycheck. But when God multiplies your seed, it'll take you through the next year. It'll take you, when God multiplies your seed, it'll take you from paycheck to paycheck living. Amen. It'll take you from having too much month at the end of the money to having too much money at the end of the month.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. You started off having a weekly budget. Now you got a monthly one. And then you got a 6-month one. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Woo, glory to God. That's what multiplying will do for you. So we got to be patient, amen. And the scripture says that we'll receive a great recompense of reward. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There is nothing that overcomes more pressure or opposition than your seed. There's nothing that overcomes more pressure or opposition than your seed. So if you think you're having a hard time waiting for the harvest, keep in mind what that seed is enduring right now beneath the ground, you know, through the rocks and the hard ground it's got to overcome. Amen. If your seed can break through, you can break through. See, when you sow your seed in the ground, that seed literally forms a covenant with the soil that is an unbreakable covenant. It will break concrete sidewalks. It will mess up building foundations. That seed that started off smaller than your pinky nail will break concrete foundations. Your seed is unstoppable and your seed is incorruptible. Amen. So next time you think you're having it tough waiting, just think about what that seed's going through, and it's going to make it. And really all you got to do is just kind of wait. Amen. And trust and thank him for it. Amen. Cast off quickly the lies of the devil. Amen. That tell you it ain't working. The third reason why people don't reap is because they think they don't have anything to do with the harvest. They think it just comes in automatically. In Mark chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 26 through 29. Jesus said, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day." See, the farmer doesn't worry about the seed. He just goes to bed once the seed's in the ground. "And the seed should spring and grow up. He don't even know how." Grace takes us out of the arena of what we can conceive. Grace takes us out of the arena of what we can comprehend. In the natural, we think, I cannot have it unless I can comprehend it. But grace takes us beyond our comprehension level. Ephesians 3:20 says, "God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask, think, dream, hope, or imagine," from the Amplified. So it says, if a man should cast seed in the ground, he should sleep, rise night and day. The seed should spring up, and he doesn't even know how. "For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Now let me ask you this. Who planted the seed, God or the man? Two people told me man. Who planted the seed? Man. Who puts in the sickle and reaps the harvest, God or man? The man. Immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So does the harvest come in by itself? It doesn't, does it? God's not going to plant it for you, and he's not going to harvest it for you. You have to be aggressive when it comes to reaping your harvest. Anything that you're going to enjoy in this life, you're going to have to lay hold on it and refuse to let go. Now, you don't have to make it grow, but you do have to sow the seed and reap the harvest. Man is responsible for both the sowing and the reaping. In the Garden of Eden, God planted the garden. And did you know that was the last garden he ever planted? Oh my gosh, what time is it? Man, I tell you, when you read the creation week, everything God created and made, he just was sitting on his throne. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. But then it said he got down on his knees and his hands and he planted. He said, "I'm going to expect my people to live according to a spiritual law. I'm going to try this out. I'm going to prove it out myself." So you're going to have to do more than just speak. You have to sow. Amen. You're going to have to do more and pray. You're going to have to sow something. See, your prayer, prayer is like the rain on the seed. And when you're praying, you ain't got no seed. Come on, there ain't going to be no harvest. You might feel the goosebumps and you might feel the sprinkles, but you ain't going to have no increase. Come on. Woo. In the garden, God planted the garden, but he did not pick the peas or strip the corn. Come on. Was that for me? Or something cooking, and that sounded like something was cooking. I'm hungry. It is for me. I know. Is it meatloaf for what? What is it? Oh! I thought it was food. Ooh! Praise the Lord! Now I don't even know where I was going. She said cookies. So, when God caused manna to rain down out of heaven in the wilderness, as miraculous as that was, the children of Israel still had to go out and get it, didn't they? So even when our harvests do come in more miraculous ways, there's still work to be done on our part. And speaking the word of God out of your mouth is a necessary part of the reaping process.
Yes.
Speaking the word of God out of your mouth is a necessary part of the reaping process. If you're gonna bring in your harvest, you're going to have to get the word of God in your mouth. Amen. Isaiah 41 says, behold, I'll make you a new sharp threshing instrument or tool. And this is interesting. It says it has teeth. What part of you has teeth? Your foot? Your mouth.
That's right.
So he's saying your mouth has become a harvesting tool that determines the harvest you receive in your life. That's Isaiah 41, 15 and 16. And this is what he says you're going to do with your teeth. You shall thresh the mountains. That sounds like Mark 11, 23 to me, don't it, you?
Yeah.
Amen. Whosoever shall say to this mountain. It says, with this threshing instrument, having teeth, you're going to beat the mountain small. So you got to do more with your confession than just speaking what you desire. You got to speak to the opposition.
Yeah.
Amen. It says, and you'll make the hills as chaff. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Many times when we speak the word, it doesn't feel like there's much power behind them. Notice verse 16. It says, with your mouth, you shall fan them and the wind shall carry them away and the whirlwind shall scatter them. What started as a wind, it just seems like you're just blowing hot air. But it says that when those words of faith are released out of your mouth, the Spirit of God will catch hold of those words, and what began as wind is going to turn into a whirlwind. Amen. Glory to God. It's going to be a whirlwind by the time it hits your circumstance. It's going to be a whirlwind by the time it hits your symptom. Glory to God. So in closing, let's do some harvesting right now. You ready?
Amen.
Say after me. Father, we thank you,
Father,
for the privilege to sow seed. We accept our responsibility of reaping our harvest. And by our faith, we call our harvest in now. Harvest, you come to me right now. We possess it and refuse to back off or get discouraged. We will stay steadfast in our faith until we see it manifested in the natural realm. We declare it by faith. We have it now in Jesus' name. God bless you, Pastor.